Tonight, I am super excited about starting a brand new Wednesday night series. And so you guys are getting on the ground zero of it. And we are going to go into a series called I Am. And it's going to be a study of the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John has been on my heart for some time. Of course, I love on Wednesday nights, just like we did the book of Acts, just like we did the book of Mark. I was just praying and, you know, seeking the Lord and when he would have me do such another series. And I feel led to do that. And so we're going to get started here tonight. We're going to take our time. I am not going to tell you how long this series is going to be, so just show up on Wednesday nights, and we're going to keep going. It may take us 3 or 4 months. It may take us all year. Who knows? But it's God's Word, and so we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us from week to week. So as we jump into it tonight, my goal is to just to kind of set the groundwork for where we're headed, to give us a little bit of introduction of John and kind of the purpose and why he's writing. We're going to go ahead and jump in the first 18 verses. We'll look at that. And then hopefully we'll have adequate time to be able to break out and spend some time in some intercessory prayer as we close out this night. So if you would allow me to have a prayer for this message. Father, I thank you, God, just for the faithfulness of your people and for every single individual that is here tonight in your house. God, they've been obedient. They have followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. Father, Lord, they've set aside the time. They've made the commitment. And I pray, Father, Lord, that you will multiply their efforts tonight. That, Father, Lord, that there will be an increase in every area of their life. That, Father, God, that your blessing and your favor rests mightily upon them. God, as we enter in into your word, I ask an anointing to rest upon, Father, Lord, every word that I speak. God, the presentation that is given. The way that, Father, Lord, that the word goes forth and the way in which we receive it. Together, Father, Lord, may we continue to gain from your word. Father, may we gain from the Gospel of John. May we be able to see things, Father, Lord, God, that we've not seen before. May we be refreshed in those things that, God, that we need to know more of. I pray in the name of Jesus for every single student of God's word here tonight, which I believe is everyone. May their wisdom continue to increase. Father, may you bless this time that we have here together. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. Well, as we jump into it, allow me here to say, you know, Happy New Year. I hope you had just a wonderful time with your family and friends, and 2019 is well on its way. So let's go ahead and jump into this. I am the Gospel of John. If you kind of study the way the scriptures are written, some of the books are written in more of a poetic form, in more of a more in a difficult manner, but John is a very simple gospel in the words that is used and in the style and the way in which it's presented. Now, just as the other gospels, the author is not named, but known through the accounts that are given in the writings. Now, as with Peter and James, John was very close to Jesus, and he was a part of that inner circle. We know just in reading the Gospels as a whole that we see that it was those three who were very close with Jesus Christ. Now, John, he refers to himself 5 times as the disciple whom Jesus loved. You will see that in chapter 13, chapter 19, chapter 20, and a couple of times in chapter number 21. Now, did John have a little bit of an ego in that? I'm going to leave that up to you. I've heard it presented in a couple of different ways. Obviously, when we study the life of the disciples, there was an issue with who was going to be first, you know, as they all gathered around Jesus. But I do find it interesting that that's how he presents himself, you know, as the one whom Jesus loved. Now, his gospel was the last of the 4 to be written. It is believed by the majority of Bible scholars that John wrote his gospel somewhere between AD 80 and 95, which would place it about 20 years after the writings of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, this means it would have been written between 50 to 60 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Knowing that, I think, even helps us in how he presents his gospel a little bit different than the first 3 do. Now, compared to the other 3 gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John's gospel gives fewer teachings of Jesus, but gives witness to more conflict between Jesus and the unbelieving religious leaders. We know that it's considered to be a gospel that heavily emphasizes and demonstrates God's love, while at the same time, many have viewed it as like a courtroom setting where Jesus is giving witness that he is the Son of God and that whoever chooses to believe in him will have eternal life. So it's really a gospel of persuasion as he talks about the love of Jesus Christ. And so you will see that unfold in the 21 chapters. Now, in John's writing, we will learn of powerful statements that are made by Jesus, but they are not recorded in the other Gospels, as well as some of the other events. I'm just going to give you a few of those. There are numerous events and teachings recorded only in John's Gospel. One of them is just the introduction in itself. The first 18 verses that we're going to read tonight are very unique in how they present Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Second thing is we'll see the conversation that he has with Nicodemus, his conversation that he has with the Samaritan woman at the well. The healing of the lame man at the pool of Bethesda is only recorded in the book of John. His powerful I am statements, from which we derive the title of our series, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, the gate, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, and the true vine. We will come upon those. Those are only to be found in the Gospel of John. His healing of a blind man in Jerusalem, his raising Lazarus from the dead, his washing the disciples' feet, his emphasis on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in and through the believers' lives. His prayer that he prays in chapter 17 is phenomenal, only recorded in John, in the Gospel of John, and the restoration of Peter as a disciple. I find that very interesting. I want to give that to you tonight because as we go through it, we're only going to find those recorded in the Gospel of John. Now, outline of the chapters could be this. Chapters 1 through 12, they are going to cover about 3 years of Jesus' public ministry. So the 3 years that he was ministering to the people, those first 12 chapters, we're going to see the account from John's point of view. Chapters 13 through 17, they are just going to give attention to a few hours, and it's with Jesus and the disciples. So even though it's multiple chapters, we're talking just a few hours in time span as we read it together. And then chapters 18 through 21, they're going to focus on just a few days where Jesus is placed on trial, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and then there's going to be some post-resurrection appearances that take place to the disciples. So it's just a few days. So in knowing that kind of helps you understand because, you know, when I first read the Gospel of John, I probably didn't think anything of it, and I probably took it that it took a long time, a long period of time. When you break it down in such a matter, it really kind of helps you give you a greater insight of the stories here that are been written. Now, there are many key verses throughout John's Gospel, but perhaps the greatest in establishing his purpose for writing, it's going to be found towards the very end. That's going to be in John chapter 20. It's really verse 31, but I have to read verse 30 because it goes along with it, and it says this. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. His entire book is a book of persuasion, to convince people to believe that he's the Son of God, Lord, and Savior of the world. So this brings us to the heart of our series, and I would write it like this. I am is about identifying, believing, accepting, and understanding Jesus as the true Son of God based on his personal testimony given through his ministry, both in actions and his words. John really tells it from Christ's point of view in many of the things that we will look at. So with that kind of being said and laying the groundwork for that, let's jump into it, John chapter 1, and let's look at this prologue that many refer as it to. Prologue in Greek means message before the message. So these first 18 verses is John telling you what he's going to talk about in the next 20 chapters. And so let's read it together in these first 18 verses. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, you know this verse well, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now here he was referring to who? John the Baptist, not himself. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of only the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now John bore witness about him, and he cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Wow, when you look at that, there's many times I referred to several of those passages in different messages over the year, and it's kind of neat to be able to put it all here together tonight. Such a powerful introduction in proclaiming who Jesus Christ is. Now, many of you who have probably studied the book of John or studied even these first few verses, you understand that the Greek term for word is logos. A lot has been written about that. Some have kind of really went extreme with that word. I want to try to keep it as simple as possible in the way that I see it. I'm not saying I got it all figured out, but this is the way your pastor sees it as I study and pray and ask the Lord to give me insight. So logos is the Greek term for word. The Gentiles, namely the Greeks, they referred to logos, the word, as the rule that governed the world as they knew it. Now, in introducing Jesus, John uses this term and he helps bring a new understanding to it. In his opening statement, he reveals here that logos, the word, is more than just a principle, more than just a thought, more than just a theology, more than just the idea of a bunch of Greek philosophers. He is presenting them to them that this is more than a principle, but logos is actually a person, and it's going to be found in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the Jewish readers, they would associate the term with the word that was given through the law of Moses, for that was the very foundation of their belief. Everything they did was based on those first five books of the Bible, the law, the word that was given to Moses. So they too would understand the term word when John uses this. Now, the religious leaders, we know, they would oppose Jesus because they felt like he didn't honor the law of Moses. But John, you see here, he would reveal that Moses testified for Jesus and that he was not against him. And in doing so, he would proclaim that Jesus is God's word to us. The word of God given to us as Jesus in flesh is the complete revelation in which the law of Moses could only point to. You see, the law of Moses, as powerful as it was not a complete revelation of God. Jesus, the word, is the complete revelation of God in flesh that has been given to you and I. I like the way that my study put it. I'll quote from that. It says, "Jesus is the human expression of God's character that Moses would write about." So Jesus is God's word. Now, just for a few moments here, let's consider this truth. Jesus, the word. Well, we'll just break it down as the scripture gave to us. First is this: Jesus, the word, is one with the Father. We see it in that very first verse. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In one power-packed verse, John gives three truths concerning Jesus, the Word. He is telling us he is eternal, he is a distinct person, and he is God. All in that one verse. This identifies the Holy Trinity in which you and I believe in. God is one who exists as three persons: God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. So right here in this very first verse, John is telling the people to believe in Jesus is to believe in God. To believe and to know Jesus is to know God. To live for Jesus is to live for God. Jesus living in you is God living in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. It might sound complex, but can I tell you it is all complete as one, because God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, the Holy Spirit is the holy God in which you and I serve. So John is just throwing it out there right at the very beginning in order to persuade the people that yes, Jesus, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, he is the one that we need to look to. He is the one in which we need to accept. He is the one who we will proclaim as the Messiah, the Lord and Savior of our lives. Now, the emphasis given by John is to reveal to the people that Jesus was the human expression of God's nature that he wanted us to know, and also that he desires to be with us always. We looked at it a lot in December, in our December series. We talked about it Sunday, on Christmas Sunday, how God, Emmanuel, you know, Jesus, Emmanuel, he is God with us. And so here in John's gospel, he's letting the people know Jesus is God, and he is the human nature. He's the human expression of God. And what God is telling us, that he does want to be with us in all moments of life. As we continue to move here in these next few verses, we see that Jesus, the Word, is the source of all creation. Again, we talked much about that in our Sunday series in December. We know that creation and life itself would not exist without Jesus. Everything created was through Jesus, the Word. God spoke through Jesus and the universe and all of its inhabitants. It came to be. Now, again, as spoken and emphasized in that December series of What a Beautiful Name, all creation not only exists through Jesus, but what did we learn? But he holds it all together, and we're thankful for that. We have to put that in there. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in that because we have been there quite a bit in these past few weeks. But we know there's no life of any type without Jesus Christ. He spoke it, and it came to be. Let's look at the third thing, and that is this. Jesus, the Word, is the life that is light to all. Now, that unfolds through verses 4 through 13. Now, when you read that and you slow down a little bit, you understand that John moves quickly from physical life to spiritual life, for that is his purpose in writing. Jesus, the Word, is certainly the source of life of our physical being, but he is also the source of life for our spiritual being, and that's what John wants to get across. He is a source of life that gives light to all who will choose to receive him. Now, the source of life is the light that reveals things as they are. This source of light, it exposes the darkness. It tells us that it overcomes the darkness. It tells us that it will lead us on a path of walking in truth and being in a right relationship with God. When you really look at this, church, there is so much power that is packed into these opening verses. You see, John dives right into letting us know that spiritual darkness, Satan himself, all demonic beings, all forms of spiritual evil and wickedness, and any form of deceptive and destructive forces are overcome by the light of Jesus Christ. Now, for us to read this, we've read it so many times, I'm afraid it gets a little bit redundant to us. But for those who are reading it for the first time, right out the gate, he's letting them know that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the light, and he is the life that brings light into all men, to all humankind. And he is telling us that that light will always overcome the darkness. So right here, he's letting the church know, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you will always be victorious over any type of darkness that comes against your life. Now, the Gospel of John never says there is no darkness, and there will be no darkness that attacks you, or no darkness that perhaps you have to walk through, or no darkness that might try to hover over you. But what the Gospel of John does tell us, that this demonic darkness, this force of evil, this destructive darkness that wants to take life away from us, it is and will always be defeated in the life and the light that Jesus Christ gives to you and I. Something powerful that you and I should receive every single day of our lives. Now, John, he loves the term light, and he's going to use it less than 20 times throughout his entire gospel. Now, when I read this, I slow down, not wanting to get caught up in the redundancy of it, but I want to proclaim to you, as we even enter into a brand new year here, no one has to choose to live in darkness. No one is forced to live in darkness. No one has to be defeated by darkness. No one has to give in to darkness. No one has to allow darkness to dictate their character, their mood, or their behavior. No one has to be identified by darkness. What the scripture is telling us here, that the life that gives light to your spiritual life, it is available to you every moment of every day. And John gives testimony of such a light. Jesus was, he is, and he will always be that light. What we have to learn is that it is a choice for you to walk in that each and every day. It is a choice for you to receive that. The life that gives light to all, it will guide you into what is right. It'll help you overcome all forms of darkness if you choose to believe and if you choose to receive. Now, churches, we move ahead in the hours in which we live. It is important for every Christian to understand the light that shines within them. It is important to understand the life that is in that light, the power that is in that light. Because if you walk around defeated, that is by choice. Your circumstance may not be by choice, but for you to walk around defeated, that is by choice. I have met people, and you have too, in lots of circumstances in life where they're not very healthy. They're certainly not fun. They're certainly not circumstances that they would wish upon anybody. And I've watched people do one or two things. They either allow those circumstances to define the way that they live each and every day, or they overcome those circumstances by living in the light of Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of individuals, you know how you use the term, you live by paycheck to paycheck? You know what I'm talking about? Most people live paycheck to paycheck. I think there are some Christians who live by circumstance to circumstance. And they're always identified by all those circumstances in their life. Now, I do not want to be identified. There are always, always, always going to be circumstances in your life. Matter of fact, if anybody can give testimony tonight that you have never had a negative circumstance in your life, just shout amen as loud as you can right now. It ain't going to be out there, right? If anybody didn't have not one negative circumstance in 2018, I want you to shout amen. All right? So what is that telling us? That little simple illustration, what's that tell us? There are going to be negative things that rise up in our lives. There are going to be spiritual battles. There is going to be a constant fight against Satan and demonic forces. There is always going to be some type of angle where darkness is trying to cloud over you, or is trying to discourage you, try to bring you down. And what we have to decide to do as we read such a powerful and loving gospel as John is we got to understand in these first few verses, the light always overcomes the darkness. Through Christ, that's how I'm identified. Through Christ, I have life. And no matter what it is, I will always be on the victorious side if I walk with Christ. But, as John says, not everybody received it. They all heard it. They heard the same testimony. They heard the same witness. They even saw firsthand some of the same actions in which John would write about. But not everybody would accept it. And not everybody would choose to walk in it. Now, I know when we look at it even closely, we're talking about individuals who would choose to believe in Christ, individuals who would not choose to believe in Christ. So the challenge in presenting to you tonight as a body of believers who I believe most of you in here have accepted Christ, I'm going to look at this even further and come from that angle. You and I, even as believers in Christ, I think we still have to choose each day whether we're going to walk in that light or not. Because just because we're saved doesn't mean we automatically choose to walk in the life that gives light to us, right? And if we're not choosing to do so, not only do we hurt ourselves, not only do we hurt our families, not only do we hurt our church, we hurt the testimony to the unbelieving world. Because what sets you apart? That light that has given you life inside of you. What sets you apart in how you handle all, because everybody, believer or non-believer, they're going to have family issues. They're going to have financial issues. They're going to have health issues. If I was able to tonight and allowed to do so, which I'm not and I won't, but I could stand here and say, okay, here's all the issues that we've had in church this year. Can I tell you that there's no respecter of a person when it comes to issues? There's not been any new issue under the sun. Some of us have really isolated ourselves and said, nothing like this has ever happened to anybody. I cannot believe this is happening. Can I tell you the devil's been at work in the same way since time began? And I'm going to tell you that he's always going to be defeated. We'll keep our eyes and our focus on Christ. So I'm staying on this one a little bit tonight because 2019, may the church walk in power. Amen. May the believer walk in power. May you light up the room when you walk into it because of Jesus shining in you. May your attitude look different this year. May your conversation look different this year. The way you handle circumstances this year, those calls, those responses, whatever it may be, your social media, your work, the office, wherever it is and however it is, may the light of Christ override anything else that's trying to get in the way. Now, that's not always going to be simple, right? That's going to take a person of prayer, a person of reading the Word, a person who is faithful in worship, a person really who wants to be the best in Christ. That's what it's going to take. It's not going to be automatic. You spend 30 minutes in prayer tonight, and you think, man, I'm good. Tomorrow I'll wake up, and all will be good. My light will shine bright. Just know, when you wake up, put your mind on Christ. Say the prayer, Lord, let your light that's in me, Lord, somehow, some way, let it shine today. Let it shine today in my life. Powerful when you really think about that. I asked a question here in my notes, and I wrote it in bigger font than I did everything else. What is going to be this upcoming year for you? Is it going to be darkness or light? The choice is yours on which one you're going to walk in. Now, I know that's a bold statement, and I know that impacts us all. Maybe for some of us that may be hit with a health issue, what am I going to allow to identify me this year? Something that's wrong with me or what Christ is doing in me? You see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to negate anything that we will go through because it's hard. There will be fights. There will be bruises. There will be tears. There will be anger. There will probably be words spoken that you don't want to speak. There's going to be things like that that happen. But are you going to choose to be that? Or are you going to choose to say, no, I don't want to be that anymore. I want the light of Christ. Even if you are angry and frustrated and upset and disagree, somehow, some way, figure out how Jesus, the light, can shine in that conversation. Right? And I'm telling you, that's not always easy. So this very first Wednesday night of the year, I'm saying, we better know the Word of God. We better be seeking the face of God and understanding that this power in which John is presenting, it's inside of us if we choose to grab a hold of it and walk in that. All right, that's my take on as I'm reading this and as I give it here to our church family night. Let's look at the fourth one here, Jesus the Word. Jesus the Word became one of us to reveal the grace and the truth of God. Scripture tells us he was born flesh just as you and I. Scripture tells us he came to dwell among us, thus the Christmas season that we've just came out of. He came to be with us. He came to reveal God's character to us. It is through Jesus that you and I have seen God. It's through him that we've come to know him. John's gospel, it opens up with an emphasis placed on how Jesus beautifully and powerfully reveals not only just the entire character of God, but very specifically, God's grace and God's truth. You see, grace that the John is talking about is grace that brings forgiveness and salvation and transformation and freedom and abundant life. The truth he is talking about is the truth that is given with love and mercy and grace and not in condemnation. I'm going to go back to my study, and the study that I'm doing is some of you even use it in your classes. I think, Tommy, you use the Faith in Action series. It's a good series. It has many authors within it, so I don't just quote one individual. I quote really the study. And so I really love the way that it presented grace and truth right here. So I kind of loosely adapt this to give to you tonight is this. Grace without truth promises salvation, but leaves us still bound in our sin. Now, I want you to think about this because John's gospel is going to teach us and show us God's grace, but also God's truth. Grace without truth promises salvation, but leaves us still bound in our sin. That's the individual who wants to know that they're saved through Jesus and they want him to be their savior, but they don't want him to be the Lord of their life. Grace with truth not only saves us from the penalty of our sin, but also sets us free from sin's power, and it'll do so now. So as we are saved by God's grace, I want that transforming work to take place inside of me. And whatever God needs to do inside of me, so be it, because that's what's going to help me walk in freedom. That's what's going to help me walk in peace and joy. And I know this is a very bold statement and may even be a little bit opinionated, but in my heart, what I feel is there's a lot of people today, a lot of Christians sitting in our seats today. They want to hear the message of grace, but they don't want the truth that goes along with it. They want to come into a powerful, emotionally driven service, the worship to be off the chart, the latest songs, the music to be incredible, the pastor to be hip and funny, and his stories and his illustrations to be all very good, and everybody feel really good about that. And man, let's talk about how you are saved, you are saved, you are saved. But don't get any further than that, because if you start telling me something that tells me I'm wrong or I've got to change what I'm doing in life, I don't want to hear that. Now, I know that's, and I'm not thinking of any one in particular, I'm just saying the church as a whole. We, Guida Assembly, we have to wrestle with that. Because when you start speaking in a manner and presenting God's way in a manner that says, hey, there's some truth that goes along with this grace that's going to change your life. People are like, oh, put on the brakes. Hey, do not go into sexual things, okay? Don't even speak the word sex behind the pulpit. It's very personal. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about homosexuality. Don't talk about sex outside of marriage. Don't talk about anything of that nature. Don't talk about pornography. Even that, just don't talk about it. You can talk about finances. You can mention tithes. I understand the church has got to have tithes, but just don't go any further than that. Don't talk about what kind of steward I am. Don't talk about gambling. Don't talk about anything that's really going to push me beyond what I want to do in life, because that's going to make me feel uncomfortable, and I might have to find a church that's a little bit more hip and with it. It's amazing how many people will threaten the leadership if they don't quite receive what they want to receive. Now, thankfully, that's not an everyday thing that happens. But you can see when people, and you know when they begin to buck up against, you say the wrong thing about social media, it's automatic. Done, I'm out, irrelevant. That church is irrelevant. They're stuck in the dark ages. Grace and truth. You cannot separate them. Amen. They go hand in hand. Truth without grace, though, and I understand, this is why I'm giving you, quoting from the book, because I love the balance that it presents. Truth without grace is legalism. Emphasizes rules without giving people the power to follow through. We don't want to be that. We certainly don't want to be that. Yes, in our church, are there individuals that want to lean more to legalism? Absolutely. From how we say, what we sing, what we wear. I have an individual right now in the early service. He called me and asked it if it was okay if he could wear his hat in church. You know why he asked me that? Because he just had his first round of radiation and chemotherapy, and in the first week, he's lost most of his hair. And he's having a hard time struggling with that. Okay, just as any of us would. Pastor, is it okay if I have a hat on ever so often? You better believe it is. What if someone has an issue? You tell them that I don't, and they'll get over it. Is that being arrogant? No, I don't mean to be arrogant. But I'm not worried about that hat. I'm concerned about that soul and about that heart and about that healing and about that gift being used. And I want them to know. So before we start doing this to everybody and start getting in legalism, why do they do that? Why do they say that? Why do they wear this? Why do they look like that? Why is it this all? You never know what a person is dealing with until you know what I'm going to say, till you walk in their shoes. Right? So what you need to do is focus on the Lord and allow the Lord to focus on what needs to change in us. Amen. We'll let the Lord do his work. Truth without grace. It becomes legalism. Nothing I want to do with that. I was kind of raised in that. I've come out of that. I thank God for that. Truth wrapped in grace. It'll give instruction, but it'll also empower one to obey through the transformation that is taking place through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think this crowd tonight understands that. I am so grateful for the way that the Holy Spirit speaks to us and leads us. Seems like I've been on this subject a lot here lately, and that is I'm so grateful when he helps us change direction or correct us within our spirit. I'm so grateful. The Holy Spirit corrected me Sunday when I got home. There was something that I probably could have said a little bit different. And I'll leave that between me and the Holy Spirit. But I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit is constantly working on us. Because it's not a matter of condemnation. It's a matter of bringing the best out of you, of reaching that potential, of making a difference, of shining your light even brighter than what it already is. You see, when we think of a light, a lot of times we think about that light wearing out, right? I bought a little tree for my office. It's LED lights, put the batteries in it. I forgot to turn the light off. I turn it off each and every day. I didn't do it Sunday. I come in today and it was really dim. I was like, oh, I forgot to left the light on and the battery's dimmed down. And sometimes when we think of lights, we think, well, eventually it's just going to get dim. It's the total opposite with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit working in you, the older you get, the brighter you should shine. Amen. Right? Amen. The more stuff you go through, the more wisdom you should gain and the brighter you should shine. That's the way that I'm reading these scripture. I look at Mickey Joyce back there, and Mickey, your light just keeps shining brighter. It just keeps shining brighter. And everything that he's gone through in life, he's learning, and he just keeps plugging along for Jesus Christ. Love of his life passed this year, but does his light dim down? No, it doesn't. It just keeps shining brighter. Why? Because of what the Holy Spirit is doing in his life. What happens to all of us. But, again, let's be real. Sometimes it's not just shining dim. Sometimes we just want to go turn it off, don't we? You ever woke up in the morning, you probably didn't say this, but maybe you had, as you think about it, you kind of had this thought, I'm just going to turn my light for Jesus off today because it is no good. My words aren't good. My attitude, I didn't sleep very well. You know, all this is happening. I just don't feel like shining very bright today. Well, that's not scripture. Scripture says you can overcome even that attitude and that darkness. And you keep that light on and you keep growing and you keep learning. Now, so in that, yes, again, kind of going and not meaning to get away from all of that. But when you look at what John's going to be presenting, remember, this is kind of the message before the message. Because he's going to be giving even more detail about the light that shines in and through us as we move through his gospel. But as he talks about grace and as he talks about truth, they are both incredibly important in our life. Nothing that you and I can do can make us worthy to enter heaven. The only thing that makes us worthy is through the grace of Jesus Christ. But in that grace, there is a transformation that helps us to begin to shine brightly in the very nature of Christ himself. And that's what John's going to be teaching us. So Jesus, the Word, he reveals to us just how much God desires to work in and through our lives and how much God gives to us. You got to land on verse 16 for a moment because it says, and from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. And you know what that means? I think most of you do. It means we have received one blessing after another. And he even, when he talks about Moses here, as he continues on in the verses, he relates to the people by going back to Moses. You see, the law of Moses gave blessing through sacrifices, through things such as the Sabbath day, a day of rest. But in that law of Moses, it was just showing God at a distance. It was introducing the people, God at a distance. But Jesus came, he dwelt among us, he revealed God to us, and he made our relationship with God very close up and personal. And that's what John is explaining to the Greeks, to the Romans, to the Jews, to the Gentiles. Now, it is said that his book was really written to the Gentiles. Well, it's written to the Jews. It's written to the Greeks. It's written to the Romans. But yes, it's written to all of us because he wants us to understand what God desires to do in and through our lives. His whole gospel is a presentation to persuade us to choose, to believe, and accept the life that Jesus wants to give. And I pray as you and I go through it again, may we really receive, may we see some things we haven't seen before, and may we really be refreshed in the power of God and how God would have us to live. Now, as we get ready to pray here tonight, as we think about this, I want you to think about the brand new year that's ahead of you. As you approach this year, I think you should approach it day by day. Day by day, you wake up and you say, God, this is your day. In my mind, I don't make resolutions. I evaluate. You heard me say that Sunday. I evaluate. But in my mind this year, I'm thinking, okay, what is it that I can do better so I can look back and really see what God has done in my life this year? So there's some personal journaling. You know, I'm not really one who journals, but there's some things that I'm going to do this year because I'm really, in my spirit, and I'm telling you this as your pastor because I want to challenge you to do the same. every day, embrace it, has been a day that you can be at your best. Amen? Too many things have been pulling at God's people. Too many things trying to really keep you from what the real focus ought to be. There shouldn't be one trivial matter that trips you up this year as you focus on the light of Christ and the light inside of you. As you focus on the light of Christ and the power of Christ and the grace of Christ and the truth of Christ, if you're frustrated and you have got it all sent or got it all ready to send on your phone, before you send it, you pray over it. Before you speak it, you pray over it. If something comes to your mind and you're like, this is not my best for me, I told you already, when I feel Muldrow Steve coming on, that's a sure sign that I need to stop right there. Don't talk to anybody. Don't look at anybody. Just pray. Be at your best. Am I giving you something, a challenge that's unrealistic? The world would say that I am. But I believe Jesus, as he walked with the disciples, he asked from them every day to follow him, to learn from him, to grow, to shine, to be at your best. I don't want to take your mind to negative places, church. I really don't. But just for a moment, so you can kind of understand where I'm coming from tonight, can you think about a few moments this past year where really they should have never happened? They should have never happened if you would have just approached it a little bit different. A lot of things are out of our control, right? A lot of things are out of our control. But a lot of things are in our control. So as we, again, get ready to pray, my heart just keeps landing there. I believe as we go through this gospel, we're going to learn to be at our best every day as we allow Christ to keep working inside of us.